It's Everything's Fine, episode Who Gives a Shit. I'm Dallas.
Dallas, we have to maintain order. It is episode 123. We can't let everything just go crazy.
Is it really 123?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The last time we recorded was November 19th, I believe, or something like that. Or maybe November 2019. So hasn't been even been a year yet.
I know. What are we doing? We got to wait. Should we wait?
Yeah, let's not do this. Now's not the right time.
Now's not the time. I love that so many people have messaged us or have just told us, you guys should record. And I'm like, why? Because I think it's more for your and I's psychotic relief, maybe, that we're recording.
Yes.
Yeah. But like, who else is going to hear this episode and be like, oh, thank God that made sense.
Oh yes. Now the whole COVID-19 situation is completely figured out. And
we're only going to make it worse for everyone listening.
Yeah. Well, in that spirit, I do want to say, and maybe this is because we haven't recorded in a while, or this topic is, you know, a lot of a bigger deal than like the presidential race, you know, there's a lot of more weight to it. Potentially
there's a presidential race,
or it feels a little more, I don't know. It's just a heavy topic. Like, I think there's more blocks and unfollows going on in Twitter than in any other time in history.
But honestly, that's the best thing that could happen.
True. All that being said, I just want to preface this episode with, if there are things that are said in exploring ideas, I don't want this to be like, we're conspiracy theorists or whatever. COVID-19 is a serious thing that, let's just get that off the top real quick, because.
Well, and yeah.
No,
and
that's, neither of us want people to die. Let's get that off the top real quick.
Not at all.
Because most of my conversations so far after like 5 minutes devolve into me wanting people to die. And so I thought, why don't we just like remove that stigma off the top, so we're free to discuss things.
I do think it's a bummer that you want people to die. But no, I agree with you. Like we had talked probably on the last episode, that same mentality now exists for COVID-19, which sucks. And let me also preface this too. I've mentioned this on this podcast so many times. There's a great podcast by Dan Carlin called Common Sense. He hadn't released an episode, I think, for at least a year, if not longer. And the reason why he stopped releasing episodes was because he was like, there's no more civil discourse. Like, you can't have a conversation anymore.
Correct.
Because if I say I don't like Trump, then that means that I love Hillary. Right. And if I say that I like Hillary, then that means I hate Trump. But he's like, none of those things, those aren't actual equal things. Like, you can hate both of them equally or love both of them equally. You can do whatever you want. Just because you have one opinion doesn't dictate the rest of your opinions. And that is how now, and he just released an episode, by the way, 2 days ago.
Oh, cool.
And it's so stinking perfect. Travis, you need to download and listen to it. All people will be like, this is what I've been trying to say my entire life.
Oh, good.
Like, it's all about the fact that presidential elections, how basically what we've all done in the last 4 years specifically is that we've no longer made ideas the enemy, we've made people the enemy.
Exactly.
And so now I can't have an idea and we talk through that idea. The only thing that I can have is that I am Dallas and now you hate me and I need to die. I'm the problem.
Because I feel like you support someone that's associated with that idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because since you support Trump, you're a Nazi and that's the end of the discussion.
Or because like there's an idea that Trump is associated with that you think is either a good idea or a bad idea. And then that infers all of the other things. Like, I've gotten to the point where I don't even like to like certain people on Twitter, even though the idea that they're putting forth is either a good idea or one that I think should be shared, especially like from like a Ben Shapiro type, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
You can't, like, a lot of times they have interesting things to discuss, but like, because of the dumb things they've done in the past or who they've associated with, if you at all engage in that lane, you are supporting them, endorse everything they've ever stood for, and are in lockstep with every opinion they've ever had. And it's like, okay, so how do we discuss things? How do we talk?
And that is more dangerous than anything anyone can do.
Yes. Than any of these diseases or policies or anything.
And here's how stupid all of us are. Not just the people we're talking, like we are included in this.
Yes, Travis, we are not immune from this.
Not at all, because now we're teaching ourselves to believe and think this way. So the most dangerous thing that we have done as a people is we've no longer made ideas the problem. We've made people the problem, the other people. And of course, there are Nazis that support Trump. I mean, we're stupid and naive not to think that. But that doesn't mean that everyone who supports Trump is a Nazi. I know several people who support Trump, and I know for a fact they couldn't be Nazis, or if they are really bad at being Nazis. Like, so it is a ridiculous statement, but it is definitely what everyone wants to be true. And the problem with Ben Shapiro, and Dan Carlin touches on this too, because he goes in his last podcast, he kind of takes a step back at like the people who invented this talking head kind of problem, you know, culture, Joe Pine, yes. This guy Joe Pine, and he talks about some other people.
The talking head philosophers.
Yeah, and how they literally did it as a joke, that they would come out and just be like, you're wrong, you're an idiot. And it was a joke. Like, everyone took it as what it was a joke. And now, as entertainment.
Like, yeah, the Crossfire kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And now that and he brings up when Jon Stewart went on Crossfire and just destroyed that show by going, what you guys are doing is dangerous. And he talks about that being a pivotal moment, because he was like, that was such a smart thing for Jon Stewart to do, because he saw, and a lot of us saw, but he saw and had the position to do so, where it's like, people are no longer consuming this as entertainment. Mm-mm. They're consuming this as their belief system.
As truth, yes.
And so it's no
like
longer.
WWE is like real wrestling.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Oh my God, that's so good. Fox News is literally WWE. MSNBC is the same thing.
Yeah.
And like, and Dan Carlin pointed out such a beautiful example, which again, if you're listening to this and you hate Fox News, then you're going to hate what I'm about to say. And I can't do anything about it except for tell you, you should hear it. But he was like, the fake news thing was definitely a made up term, but it's not necessarily a made up idea. Right. He's like, if CNN, if I know that the president does something good, but CNN refuses to report on that good thing the president did, then how can I look at them as a reputable news source? And the same thing goes for Fox News. If the president does something bad and they refuse to report on it, how can I look at them as a reputable news source? And that is true. That is so, so true. You're getting your news from one side or the other, and you're assuming that's gospel truth no matter what.
Okay. And so this is like it's almost like we wrote the script here. The perfect segue into how I want to go into this COVID-19 thing. Because in no way am what I'm about to say questioning the existence of COVID-19, the seriousness that people are dying, any of those things. But you have just talked about how dishonest our news media has been, given examples. And now we are all in our houses because these same news outlets that propagated, you know, the Iraq war and all these myths, truths that the Afghan papers, all these lies they've told us, the Mueller report, Ukraine, whatever it is, we are now all sitting in our houses.
Well,
voluntary, because these same news outlets told us to. It is the most 1984 realized thing I've ever seen. I like your reaction to that. I'm not in any way dismissing COVID-19, but we have all taken these dishonest, money-hungry media corporations. And we are staying in our house because they told us to.
So here's my feeling on that is, one, they didn't tell us to do it and we listened. It was that they're reporting on things. And here's the snowball effect, basically.
Okay.
Is that since we have made all of this entertainment now just how we consume our news,
right?
It doesn't matter. Like, because you look at the people who watch Fox News and how you froze. Are we still going?
Yeah, we're totally going.
Hold on.
I totally got you. You're coming in great.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you look at how Fox News and The Daily Show actually just did a fantastic like montage of timelines and how Fox News was reacting to the coronavirus.
Yes.
And how like just last week or a week and a half ago, they're like, we've never joked around about the coronavirus. But then like a week before, they're talking about how it's just the cold.
The flu. Yes.
Yeah. No, they were saying it's the common cold.
Oh, okay.
Before the flu, it was just the common cold. Then it was just the flu. But anyway, like, so people who were watching Fox News that way were like, screw it. I'm going out. I'm going to spring break. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. People who were watching CNN were like, I'm buying all the toilet paper and I'm getting in my house. So it's not that one media source dictated the way everyone reacted. It's that whatever media source you consumed, that's what dictated your early actions in response to COVID-19 and coronavirus. The thing is that I see about these people, especially on Facebook and media, who are like, this is insanity. We're all stuck in our houses. We're letting our freedoms go. The Spanish flu didn't even have this many cases and blah, 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 blah. And they're yelling all these numbers. It's like they refuse, these people, one, they refuse to let themselves learn from history. And two, these are the same people who, if no actions were taken in 2 months, would be like, why did millions of people have to die? Our government did nothing.
But so if that, our government did but nothing, that doesn't make them wrong. That doesn't make them right then.
No, it doesn't make them right then either. But this is the government.
That's not literally a reason to.
This is the entire world looking at the Spanish flu epidemic and how those things played out and going, hey, we have a chance to get in front of this. Let's try to do it. And then they're doing it. And people are like, why are you doing it? It doesn't make any sense. It's like they're doing it because we saw what happened when people did nothing.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, but what are we doing? We're preventing the disease from spreading or flattening the curve. That's what we're doing?
Trying to flatten the curve, yes. Which is what all the doctors and stuff said.
And what is the potential sacrifice for that flattening of the curve on the other side? Because there's a lot of people out there right now just pretending like we don't have to earn money to eat. We're just provided stuff. Like, stuff just falls in our lap and we're allowed to just do whatever we want. And so I'm sure there's a lot of people out there financially in that situation. But there is a negative consequence, or there is a something you have to give up to get something. And so we're all sacrificing by staying at home. There is going to be a cost to this sacrifice on the other side. Yeah. And I don't know.
Well, let's take.
I don't know if the computer models, I'm just saying, and the science, whatever that means right now, because.
You talking about computer models or the models that Trump had sex with? Which one?
Because that's a side tangent I don't want to get on. But like he's kind of a comedic genius. I will go back to it again. That has to be Andy Kaufman in a bodysuit. That is so good, Dallas. Come on. If you did not hate him so much, if you could honestly look at him with like clear, non-biased glasses, that is a stand-up bit that you would die for. You would die for that moment.
Like if you could come up with that character.
Yes.
And do that character. Oh, yeah.
It's the
most
he's the most well-written character ever. He is. He is so, like, if you can look at him without the hate and just watch him and pretend he is a character you wanted to create, there's nothing funnier than that. Honestly, it is so good.
You froze on me.
Oh, I did? Well, I still got you. You're fine. What was I saying now before? Now I'm going to lose my train of thought.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all good.
You keep freezing. There you go. Oh, you're going normal.
Should we pause our video? Do you think that's what it could be? The internet is really struggling in all this, which is a whole nother thing I wanted to talk about. We're not technologically prepared for this kind of thing either, but that's.
No, definitely. But as long as you were able to hear what you were saying, then I'm fine. Cause I got the gist of it, but what we were talking about before was the sacrifice that we're making. Cause there's money. People just expect them to be money.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I'm going to, if this goes on much longer, the company that we've talked about before on this, it's going to go away. Like I'm going to lose my job. My wife's already lost her job. I can't go find a job. I'm not allowed to leave my house. There's nothing I can do to fix my situation except for trust these people that we all don't trust to handle the situation. This in no way dismisses the severity of COVID. But the way that we're going about handling it, I think, is going to have consequences way beyond anything that the disease would do. Because the projections are so wildly different depending on the time of day and the week. First, it was a couple million Americans. Now it's around 200,000 Americans. And now we don't really know because these computer models are only as good as their input. And I've read a lot about this. This is where I spent most of my time, in fact, during this COVID thing is looking at how these computer models are generated. And again, not well, and we're not again. I'm not
saying the biggest thing with the computer models. The reason why they keep what did
no,
I cut
ahead,
you off?
No, go ahead. No, no, go ahead.
I was saying the biggest thing about the computer models and the reason why I think they keep changing is they keep changing because I'm stopping my video just in case because they things keep changing. So like, what was it? I think today, this morning or yesterday, Alabama finally issued like a stay at home order. So that's going to change the models. You know what I mean? Florida just did it 3 days ago.
But no, no, the yes, that will change projections maybe from going forward, but the way that the models are done, there's so many input factors. It's not just like it's way more complicated than that.
All right. So what were you saying? Sorry.
I was just saying how it's going to be an interesting question on how much we've given up for some computer models.
Yeah, but see, and here is there's two things that I look at when you say that, because there's two things that there's one thing that we actually gave up, and then another thing that people keep pretending we gave up, which the one thing that we actually gave up was obviously people are losing their jobs.
Yeah, our livelihoods.
People are being furloughed. And all of this furloughing and all of this firing and stuff is, you know, companies are doing it so people can go collect unemployment to get some kind of compensation, which I understand them trying to do what they can. Like SeaWorld furloughed like 90% of their employees.
But what about no one's talking about the majority of the employers in the country, which is small business. So like I could not give two rat's butts. Sorry about my French here, but big corporations like SeaWorld and AT&T and all of this, because they don't, not only do they not employ most of Americans, but they're going to get bailed out regardless. Like those guys are already been taken care of. They always get taken care of. Who's not getting taken care of again in this issue, in this situation, is the small businesses. And no one seems to care that like all these mom and pops are going to be gone. It's not a question of like if they're going to be gone. They are already gone. And they're already like, months down the road, people are seeing it, there's no way to come back from it unless you go into massive debt. And the mom and pops can't do that. Those small businesses, the businesses under 100 employees, are not going to make it through this.
Well, and I think that, you know, I mean, the biggest problem with that in itself is that America's almost never looked out for small businesses, ever. So, I mean, there's nothing new. Unfortunately, there's nothing new about that mentality.
But it's okay just because to me,
no,
this
it's
is
not
what,
okay.
To me, this is what this is like. And I'm going to try to use baseball as like non-serious as the COVID-19 is. And I'm going to keep referring to how serious this is. And I'm aware of that. But to me, when you base this purely on computer models, things that have been proven to be somewhat accurate, but not perfect. And what I mean by that is, analytics in baseball, although it's very helpful in determining the probable outcome of things, it does not mean you should not play the game. And
sure.
Like, so there has to be a balance in the way that we handle these situations. And for the way that we've handled this COVID-19 one, we have totally acted, in my opinion, hysterically, and are doing, the leaders that are making decisions are making them without having any common human experience of like what it's going to take to come through this. I know Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is going to be fine through this. He's a millionaire and it's not going to affect him to where he's going to be worried about his next meal. That is already not true for hundreds of people in my neighborhood. So the decisions he's making, although are taking into account lots of lives and saving them from this disease, the unintended consequences of this are going to be so much more severe than I think the disease would have been if we tried less drastic measures.
Well, and I think that, and here's the thing, people who are listening, there are some people who have been listening up to this point and just heard what you said and are so angry at you. And
that's fine.
No. Here's the thing. Let me finish. And are maybe turning off the podcast, maybe going, Travis is such an asshole, and they're not going to listen to the rest of the podcast because they've heard what they needed to hear to make themselves feel good and feel right and feel justified in their emotions.
In judging
and now,
me.
Yeah, and now they've turned it off. So if they continue listening, I hopefully invite them to continue listening, because that follows along everything. People acted hysterically because that goes back to what these talking head shows, how we ingest our news, how we ingest conversations with each other, how we ingest politics, how we take all that, we put it in our systems, and then we spew it back out on each other. Of course, there is no other possible way for the majority of America to act than hysterically. It's just impossible.
But I'm not even talking about our, I'm talking about our leadership is acting hysterical.
Are you kidding me? That's what politics is now. It's hysteria. Are you kidding me? Every election we've ever had in the last 20 years has been the most important election of our lifetimes. Don't you know that? Like, if we lose this one election, then the world is over. Have you not heard that before?
For a year, yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, of course it's hysterics. Politics is hysterics. Like, that's all it is. It's based in the sky is falling, vote for me, and I'll pick up a couple bricks so a few of us survive. That's all it is. That's politics. Yeah. I sighed when you said, not in a bad way, but when you said balance, because that is the thing. No one wants to talk about balance. No one wants to talk about a balanced response. And the problem with, like, you know, because Trump did say that one thing, I don't want the cure to be as bad as the disease. So many people took that and they ran with it. And that's one of those things that Trump says where I'm like, guess what? There's a nugget of truth in that. And no one wants to admit it, because we don't want to admit it that we want anyone to die, because we don't. No one wants anyone to die. But guess what? If you for one second in your life, like perfect example, 9/11, if you for one second after 9/11 were like, hell yeah, let's go to the Middle East and let's bomb those assholes. If you for one second thought that, then you also for one second didn't give a crap about human life. You didn't, because you didn't give a crap about the people who were going to fight that war, yeah, who were going to die. You didn't give a crap about the people they were going to kill, the kids they were going to kill. You didn't give a crap about any of that. Well, in this moment, don't try to pretend like your number one absolute thing is that you don't want people to die. People die every single day of every single disease of every single thing. It's going to happen. Now,
and we all make this bargain every day with things that will kill us. Like it's
exactly.
So
somebody posted a picture of a ton of McDonald's food. And they're like, could you eat this for $20? And I was like, are you kidding me? I used to eat that every day for $20. Like, what are you talking about? And I love McDonald's. I'll eat McDonald's right now. But we let McDonald's exist. We let it exist. Yet it does probably more damage to the society than a lot of things in our lives. But we let it exist. We make a bargain with ourselves. Yeah, we want cheap hamburgers. And then in essence, people are going to have diabetes and they're going to die. But we got our cheap hamburgers.
And here's going to be the most controversial thing I'm going to say yet. And people are definitely going to turn it off after this. But Dallas, what's the third leading cause of death in the United States every year?
I'm going to say Chick-fil-A.
No.
Oh.
You know what it is?
What? No, I don't know.
Doctors.
Oh, yeah. Malpractice and stuff.
Not even malpractice. Just a misdiagnosis, like them trying their best to help and making the wrong decision based on what they know, kills like 200,000 people in America every year about what this virus is going to kill. So like, yeah, we all say that hospitals are worth it. Like, it's worth helping out, right? Mm-hmm. The people that do benefit from them. But in that quest to help, a lot of people are also going to get hurt by it. I might go in for something that is a really common stomach ache and get misdiagnosed, and it might kill me. But guess what? All the other people that get help from the medicine and from the practicing of medicine is worth that risk. So if people are turning off the podcast and thinking I'm some kind of heartless jerk, you're not aware of the world that you live in. And I'm sorry to break it to you.
Well, let me clear that up and underline what your point was there so it doesn't go in a big circle. Your point was that the risk that we face in hospitals every day, we all consider worth it so we can go and get help and try to get cured. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
And that's a daily thing that we fight. And that's not a wrong sentiment. And what I'm saying with my point about saying like there has to be a balance is, although it's outrageous to think that we would want anyone to die, because we don't. I mean, I went through death this last year, and there's not one single day I don't think about my mom. Not one single day. So I don't need to sit here and be told like, oh, well, you've never gone through it. Nope. Firsthand, watched it happen, was there by your side the whole entire time. So I know what it is. I know what disease can do. I know how dangerous it is, how sad it is, how heart-wrenching it is to see people go through it. And I don't want it for anybody. And that's why I'm in my house. That's why you're in your house. We're trying to do our part to make this make sense. But I also see your side of it. And that's when we can't just take one side and that's it. And that's the situation. And that's what solves it. Is that the other side of this is we're going to get out of here in a couple of months, you know, and we're going to, in a month or 2 months or whatever, people are going to come out of their houses and they're going to be like, oh shit, like I don't have a job anymore. And we're all on unemployment. So what does that mean for our state that just went bankrupt? Because how the hell are they going to pay everybody this money, or inflation because they have to make up money? Like it's a big tumbleweed. And I don't know why we're all just pretending like it's not a big deal. It's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. And just to piggyback on what you were saying, like, of course we need to work on mitigating this disease and solving it. But like,
yeah,
we're trusting the same people that
we just never trust.
Go back to Katrina. Like, come on. You think the same exact people, the same exact systems that left all those people in New Orleans to fend for themselves, rebuild their communities, all this crap, we left them there to fend for themselves. When it was happening, we're like, oh, you know, George Bush hates black people, and we're blah, blah, blah. And guess what? Once it was actually over, everyone forgot about him. And guess what? If everyone is in need of help, it's going to be way worse than Katrina by like 1,000-fold across the country. And well, I don't know what place of privilege people sit from, because I'm not sitting there. Like, I just put in my last mortgage payment, which is like the last money we have to our name, like, because my wife got fired over a month ago and blah, blah, blah. So I would love just to say, oh, it's so easy. Let's just all sit home and wait for this to blow over. And, you know, the good government's going to come in and give us all checks so we can get through this. But they've already not done that. They've already passed $2 trillion in legislation that is mostly handouts for rich crony billionaires. And so I guess what I'm saying is I'm all for staying at home. I'm all for wearing my mask. I'm all for doing whatever we need to do. But the way that we're blindly trusting our leaders right now, and we're eating each other on social media and all these other places when we're trying to discuss ideas, is not helping. And just taking whatever our leadership and these talking heads in news media say and digesting it like it's truth when they've been peddling bullcrap to us for so long now is going to be way worse than either COVID or the other thing. We have got to learn how to talk about ideas and get along, or we're done for. I mean, it is really bad right now.
Well, it's the thing where we're the greatest thing that, I mean, this, I'm going to piggyback and then segue into something similar, but the greatest thing about this is that it put us all together. Like, the entire world is together. Like, we're like, hey, we're all going through the same problem. It doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, what race you are, what nationality, what sex, it does not matter. And in fact, you know, the people who are in a worse off position are, in fact, now you see why they are in a worse off position and what being in a worse off position actually means. Like, there's so many times where those people who are of privilege or who don't have to worry about finances, they can't see it. They don't understand what privilege looks like. And I put myself in that same position. A lot of the times I don't understand what privilege looks like. I grew up dirt poor, and I worked my butt off to get out of it. And I've worked sometimes five jobs at a time just to be able to save money to get out of it and work and work and work and struggle. But I've been now for the last few years, I've been in a position where I am coming from a position of privilege. And it does make you forget a lot of what happened before, of where you were at before, and what issues and problems like this mean for those who don't have means. And I think so. We're not only are we all in this together and we're all facing this together, it's now highlighting things that people need to see and need to be aware of. And how do we fix those problems? I think that's really important. I think the other thing that this is, that I think you and I would agree on, this pandemic, this pandemic is highlighting, is the need and necessity for states' rights. Like, you and I have been, I think, I know I have been, but we have been such proponents yes, states having rights.
Well, and isn't that what they've been having? Isn't that a good thing?
I'm sorry?
I said, don't you think that's what's been happening? To me, that's been one of the positives out of this. You're not hearing me now?
You cut out and pinged a bunch during the last sentence.
Then just keep going on what you were saying.
Now you're fine.
I was just saying, don't you think that the states have been having their own rights through this situation? The federal government has done hardly anything.
And that's what I mean. That's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. People always ask me, you know, why I was registered as a Republican. And I've told this on the podcast before. I re-registered long ago when Ron Paul was in the primary so I could vote for Ron Paul. Ron Paul now is in his own world. God bless that old man. But I think that, you know, it's a very different world when I say I support Ron Paul, because I don't anymore, but
did you hear him throw his son under the bus? That was so good.
I did not.
He's like, well, he should have been more careful.
But see, the problem with Ron Paul though, is he'll say that, but then he goes on his little web series and he talks about how it's all a big hoax. Like he put out a video calling it a hoax. Like he's just an old man. And okay. He's 97 years old. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Exactly.
But one of the biggest things I wanted to be a Republican for, and the reason why I leaned that way, wasn't at all conservative views. It was more the fact, because when I became a Republican, it wasn't about being conservative. It was about states' rights. It was about limited government, limited federal government, not limited government. And I think that's what people mistake it before, is that like, yes, the government should help you, but we shouldn't be looking to the Washington, D.C. We should be looking to our own states. And what happens when there's a big, huge issue? Who actually comes to the rescue? It's usually the state. Usually your governor steps up.
Yes.
Not the federal government. Like you mentioned, like FEMA and all that stuff. FEMA screwed that whole pooch, man. Are you kidding me right now? The only way that those people survived and got through what they got through was because Louisiana and Texas, and I'm blanking on the other state, South Carolina. Oh God, I feel like an idiot. Florida, whatever it is, all those states came together and worked together.
Yes.
It's just like, so I'm happy that people are seeing states step up and be responsible, because that's how it should be.
But don't you think the federal government is using this as an excuse for like Medicare for All and all these big federal programs?
Candidates are, but that's it. I mean, Trump's going to be president again, so I don't know why anybody thinks Medicare for All is going to be a thing.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying a lot of people are using this COVID-19 to push that agenda. Unfortunately, the Democrats were so out of position on this with Biden. Like, there's no way. It's pretty. We don't need to get into politics, but yeah.
Because here's the thing. I literally think I think for all intents and purposes, like I can't even believe there's still a government. Like the last like 2 years of government has been such a joke that it is theater. It's theater. Like there's nothing real going on. Like you mentioned, they passed this $2 trillion stimulus plan. And now that it's starting to unroll what it actually means and what's actually happening to people, like people are pissed off. And it's like, you're just now realizing that this is a joke. Like,
well, I got always unfollowed a bunch because I was saying, do you realize what they're doing right now? And everyone's like, shh, we have to trust. It's serious, Travis. I'm like, we're not only giving up like certain freedoms, but we're giving up a lot of money to billionaires. What are we doing? It's crazy.
It's crazy. Crazy. But
in this vein, I have another very controversial point to make, and I want to know your thoughts on this.
Hold on to that real quick. Just pigeonhole it real quick, because at the beginning of this tirade, I talked about there was two things that we're giving up. One that's real and one that people pretend that we're giving up.
Yes.
And this might make us go off on a tangent, so don't forget your other point.
I will not.
But the thing that people are right now are pretending that we're giving up, and you're seeing it all over on Facebook, which makes me laugh even harder, is we're pretending that we've given up our freedom. And I think that it's hilarious that we think that we gave up our freedom, because here's the deal. If you go outside on the beach and you get a ticket, oh, well, then I guess you gave up your freedom when you decided that you couldn't park in certain spots. I guess that was part of the freedom that you gave up also when that happened, because you get tickets for parking. You get tickets for jaywalking. You get tickets for speeding. All of those little things are impediments, are apparently impingements on your freedom. And you didn't think that, but now that you could, since they're saying don't go to the beach so you don't get in the water, it's the same thing like when you go to a pool and they're like, if you've had diarrhea, don't get in this pool. Like, it's the same thing. Like, you don't want to put your poo in the pool so other people get your poo. Like, you took away my freedom.
No, I get what you're saying, but I
but hold on. Because when I go around my neighborhood, all I've seen since this has been put in place is people talking to each other, waving at each other, being with their family, playing baseball in the streets, riding their bikes, walking their dogs. It's like I've never felt like I was living in 1950s America more than I am right now. And for me to get on Facebook and people are like, they're taking away.
That is
away
a perfect analogy.
They're taking away America. Our freedom. We don't have any more freedom. We can't do anything. And then I walk outside and I see people smiling and drinking beers while they're walking around. My wife walking the dogs, drinking wine. Oh my God, what a horrible place. This is like North Korea.
We should come to El Cajon, Dallas.
I did come to El Cajon. You know what? When I was there the other day and I drove by, everybody was riding bikes. Everybody was talking to each other. People are actually communicating.
It's not like that. It's not like that. It's very violent right now and very scary. But I'm glad
because
that
the
where
helicopters?
You're at right now. No, not because of the helicopters. There have been over 6 assaults on the street where we walk our girls in the past 2 days.
Well,
it is bad right now. So your analogy is perfect that it feels like 1950s America, which was a total facade and not living up to what was about to come, because it was all based on a.
Well, I think it's about to get. I think here's the thing. I think
your little
be...
beer drinking, like smiling thing is about to turn into the purge. So I'm glad you think it. I'm glad right now it's nice for you, but you're living in a fantasy, buddy.
Nah. I'll be fine. But
Dallas, I've heard lots of people propagate what you just said, but our freedoms are being taken away. And one of the most important ones that people don't understand is the right to peacefully assemble. And it has nothing to do with public land. It has everything to do with private property, which is one of the biggest issues in America that most Americans, in my opinion, do not understand. But for the government to tell you you do not have a right to peacefully assemble on private property is a huge violation. I don't care where you stand on COVID-19 and how serious it is, because I do believe it's serious. That is a huge violation that our forefathers would, and everyone that designed this country to be a free place. I know we have lots of issues. Don't even go there with this. The people that had the idea of having a free nation where individual human could own property is in huge violation right now. And no one's talking about it.
Well,
it's just, you can't go to the beach. Well, no crap. That's a public beach and the government can do whatever they want because they own that land. We own that land as a community, but there's private property right now that the government will come and arrest people for peacefully assembling.
Have you seen that happening?
Yes, it's happening now in Florida. That's the whole, everyone's totally getting all these religious crazy people. Whatever, they might be religious crazy people, but they have a right to peacefully assemble, period. End of conversation. And until we suspend habeas corpus, that is a true freedom that is being taken away right now.
I think that there's a little amendment. If you were reading, there'd be a little number and then you'd have to go to the bottom to find the number. What am I trying to say? Footnote? There's a footnote
amendment,
to that.
Yes.
Whatever.
Well, when the government says there's a little bug that we're all going to catch, then you're not allowed to do that anymore.
No. We bring up the Constitution, and people like the Bible, which is adorable. People like to pick and choose what part of what they think is relevant to now and what part isn't relevant to now because this and that and this and that. And I do think that there's a little bit of a difference when the Constitution was written and saying we have a right to assemble and congregate, blah, 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 blah. And then flash forward to, you know, I mean, hell, even 50 years after the Constitution was written. And at that point, people were being built on top of each other. I mean, we had a right to, hold on. They write that into the Constitution, and people had farms and land, and you didn't see somebody for days. And then now we're all on top of each other. So it's an impossibility. I mean,
So then I change the Constitution. Like, you got to change the rules. You can't just say one day because of a new situation or a new circumstance that scares everybody that we're not, that our free speech is no longer valid. You can't just do that. You have to set it up beforehand. So when these get in these situations, you just don't say the rules don't apply anymore because we're all scared. That's not how it works. Because then I'm never going to respect the rules. Why would I ever respect the rules when they're arbitrary based on our state of fear?
Well, there are they're based. I mean, I know you aren't going to agree with what I say, but the Constitution was put into place by the government. Therefore, the government feels like that they have a place to move it, you know, to enforce what when. I mean,
but
that's
why
just
are we okay with that?
It.
But why is people are we
because
okay
we all bought into it?
I just can't. I can't stand the relative outrage on issues that are near and dear to our heart. But when we apply that outrage to like just the basic principles of law, everyone's just like, well, for this situation, it can apply. And for that one, it doesn't. It is so relative that I don't know how to discuss things. You know, I'm with not saying with you, but just in general. It's just this relativism it leaves us nowhere. So enough people in a democratic social society get scared enough and they make up these rules to keep everybody safe, regardless of what they are, a bug, a terrorist, whatever. We just suspend these foundational freedoms that we've all agreed upon for, I don't know, 200 plus years to fight the bad thing that we're currently facing without addressing the fact that we're suspending those things is really bizarre to me. That is the privilege that I think Americans need to wake up to. The privilege of their freedom that we've been afforded for so long, we take for so granted that we're not even aware of what we have and when it's not there. And so I'm all for closing the beaches. I'm all for closing public spaces. I'm all for doing whatever the government needs to do, which are not infringing on the Constitution, which are not any of those things. But when they start infringing on the constitutional items and we don't even address it and we just think, oh, well, it's good for our safety, there's a real danger there because we're ignorant of our freedom and what it took to get there and how different and rare it is in the course of human history. Did I lose you?
No, I can't. You lost me for a little bit of it, but not the entire thing. But I moved rooms because I think that was what was causing a lot of the dinging and the pinging.
Oh, got it.
I mean, that's, am I echoing now?
No, not to me.
Okay, good. As far as I'm not echoing to you. Sorry. We have such a big house, Travis.
Dallas, what I would do for a big house right now. I'm stuck in 1,200 square feet with three women who I love so much. I love them, but it's just a lot. It's just a lot.
It's okay to admit that you kind of hate your family right now. I think everybody does.
Well, like, it's like totally... I totally know why school was invented, and it had nothing to do with education. It's like,
no, get them out.
People are not supposed to be around each other for that extended period of time. We're supposed to come together and then separate and come together and separate. And this constant togetherness. My daughters have even gotten to the point now, and I love them so much, but they want to be within like touching distance of me of all time. So if I like have to go poop, there's a crying situation because I have to go in the other room. It's gotten crazy. Okay.
Listen, Cain killed Abel. All right. That's all you gotta look.
There was a
people
lot
aren't
of
supposed
there.
To be just people. Like it is when they made the announcement, we haven't told our daughter that school isn't coming back yet.
Ooh.
We're waiting. I think we're going to do it tomorrow night. We got some ice cream planned afterwards. Because but when they made that announcement, oh my God, I think Sam and I started to cry. Like Sam definitely teared up. And I think I wanted to cry. Like it is definitely an issue where you're like, oh my God, like this is the hardest thing ever. Like people who homeschool, I don't know how you do it. Like, I just don't know why you're doing it to yourself.
Dude, the homeschoolers right now look like the smartest people in America. They're like, this doesn't even faze us. We're taking this one in stride, baby.
Although you ever meet somebody who has homeschooled their entire, I mean, they can't really spell. But anyway.
Well, I can't spell, so point proven.
There you go. Well, that's Valhalla education though for you.
I was homeschooled, Dallas, 2 years.
Wait, you didn't go to Valhalla?
No, I did. I did junior high. I was homeschooled.
Oh, there you go. See, can't spell.
Can't spell.
That's all I'm saying.
And I'm such a
I know this is like, it has been, and we moved into this house that we bought a house, we moved into it, and it's like, it couldn't be more perfectly timed, because there's amenities in the house that we purchased, or that were part of the purchase, and we were, you know, we have jacuzzi and stuff like that. And like, but the good and the bad is that the good is like, oh my God, this, it's so amazing that we have all this stuff. And we moved in here at the right time where we'd have to be stuck at the house. But the bad is like, now I hate my house. I have to pay for this house for the next 50 years and I hate it.
Ugh.
I just want out.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like, it's, oh my God, it's the worst.
I hear you.
Well, I think, I mean, like the constitutional argument, just to swing back there, it is such a bigger argument than I think we're probably prepared to get into.
It is, and again, here's what I want to say. I don't want to blow it out of proportion, and I don't even need like to get into it that much. My only point in saying it is it's not on anyone's mind. It's not like a concern, at least in circles, in the general public square. It doesn't seem to be anything that's even, you know, discussed. What are we doing when we do this? Not, oh, the government's trying to enforce tyranny or any of these things, but hey, when we do these things, how is this affecting these other things? Let's discuss. Like, that is not happening. All we're talking about is how to tie a blood crypt mask around your face. And so, did I lose you again?
You lost me. That time you lost me for a really long time. But then I heard blood crypt mask around your face. And I'm like, oh God, what did you say before that?
I was just saying how, like, we're not talking about certain relevant things. We're talking about how to tie a bandana. I mean, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and that's like, I mean, I think the thing that scares me the most out of all this, and we've already touched on it, it is what's happening is, and it goes into the Constitution thing to a degree, is that we are giving up a lot right now. And as I told Sam the other night, because, I mean, it's hard to talk to anybody about this. We started the podcast off by saying, like, you can't really have a discussion with anybody anymore if your opinions don't line up completely. And that is unfortunate, because my wife and I agree on a ton, but there's part of me, and she, her job has been affected by this. I mean, she didn't lose her job, but she basically lost half of it. And a lot of people are in her same position. Most of the people she works with in theater, as you know, lost their jobs and they have no work. There's no live events.
Yeah.
All of her stage crew, the union that she was in, it's all, no one has any work. Like, there's nothing to do. And they have, you know, funds set up to help to some degree, but who's set up for this many people at once? You know what I mean?
No one.
So, like, the thing that, so she wrestles with, like, oh man, what when is this going to end? But she is totally fine with doing what we need to do to help and be a part of it. And, you know, so all of that stuff makes sense to me and I get why people feel that way. But to me, I'm also like, I'm scared of going like, what kind of precedent are we setting right now? Like, what, because in my experience and in most people's experience, the government usually doesn't enact things and then just take them away.
Yep.
The majority of the time the government goes, we're putting this into law now because of what's happening. And then that thing goes away, and then the law didn't go away.
We're still taking off our shoes to board airplanes, Dallas.
We're still taking off our shoes. We're still taking off our belts. You know, the whole listening in on phone calls thing is still completely allowed.
Yep.
That's the thing that scares me. And I know that's a conspiracy kind of a thing, but the only reason why I feel it's a justified thought is that we've all seen it happen.
No, it's not a conspiracy. And you can be like,
oh, I don't care about
happened.
Taking a.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'll say these things have happened. There's no conspiracy there. The government has done those things in the past. Well, maybe we should wrap this up soon because I think we're losing our internets here. The network was not made to have everyone on it at once. But I want to have
the
one last
is totally
thought.
Screwing with me right now.
I have one last on. Thought question.
I'm going to video because maybe when we went on video, it got worse.
Back to video?
I went back to video.
All right, I'm back.
I moved rooms though. Hi.
Hi. Okay. So let me just leave you this one last question. And I think we should do a lot more recording because we're almost an hour in and I'm already getting exhausted and we haven't even touched on a third of the things I wanted to get to.
Oh yeah. I wanted to talk about your Alex Winter back and forth.
We didn't have a back and forth.
I mean, your and I back and forth about Alex Winter.
Oh, that was fun. But here's the question I have, and I've not heard this. This feels like a unique thought to me. And so I haven't shared it with anyone else. I wanted to see what you thought about this.
Okay.
So there always is, but it seems with this COVID thing that the Trump hate is at an all-time high.
Sure.
And I feel like that's super ignorant in the fact that if Obama was president right now, or even if Hillary was president right now, that civil war would have already started. There are circles that I don't really partake in, but that I'm aware of, that do trust Trump not to be the tyrannical leader that Obama they thought was. And if this were under any other president almost besides a Trump who was so for the people, quote unquote, I think we have already broken into somewhat of civil unrest, if not militias being formed, if not groups saying these crazy radical off the wall things. And so, I personally, as much as I think Trump is a horrible president, a horrible leader, and has no business being in the White House, for this situation, I'm sorry. Like he's doing enough to keep the crazy militia folk from coming out of the woodwork.
Well, let me say two things on that. One, I mean, I'll take it one step further. Just pretend that all of this impeachment stuff happened and it was Obama. Do you think Obama would still be president?
Oh, totally.
You think he would have beaten this? If the Senate had the majority, you think he would still be president?
Yes, because of the evidence. Like, oh. There was other things he could have gotten. We don't need to get into that. But yes.
No, Obama would have been impeached.
No way. No way.
Oh, my God. There's anyway, no way. Trump, like, I think that...
What was that? I think Trump, Bundys or whoever were, you remember that standoff a few years ago with Obama?
Oh, the Cleveland Bundy or whatever his name is.
There are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of those kind of camps throughout this country. And if anyone besides Trump tells them shelter in place or anything even close over a virus like this, where there's still conspiratorial disputes on did it come from a bat or a lab? Mm-hmm. Did it come? I just see this going way different if Trump is not president, as much as that pains me to say. And I think he doesn't deserve credit for it, but we should all say a little prayer to ourselves that the actual constitutional nut jobs, I don't consider myself one, would be out in arms right now. They were already buying ammo at the beginning of this. You couldn't get ammo. You couldn't get anything. All those ARs are locked and loaded right now. And Trump, to me, is the one thing that is anti-government enough to not let that fuse light.
The king of the dumbasses is king, and he's keeping the dumbasses in line.
That's honest. I mean, I'm not going to say that because I don't want the dumbasses to come over here.
I said it, and please, I welcome. I'm in a community full of them, so
but,
I'm
but
not.
But there's got to be some truth to that. So.
I don't disagree with you. I think that is a complete, I don't think it's a completely accurate statement, but I don't think it's a false statement. I think that you're right, that if anybody, like Trump is the only one who could tell the South to do this and the South would listen.
Yes.
Like for the most part.
Yes.
But I also think that the reason why he's fine is because, there's a flip flop. Is that those militias were like, we're gonna, if Obama comes to you, we got a gun just ready for him, you know? And I know that I'm generalizing by using a Southern accent, but.
Is that what it was? Okay, got it.
That statement would be made. However, that doesn't happen with Trump because the people who don't like Trump are, you know, quote unquote liberals or progressives who don't really believe that guns are the answer. So they're not gonna be like, they're going to be like, we will stand outside your hotel and yell.
Yes, like, with our masks on.
So, I mean, that's one of Trump's big benefits is that he is right now existing in a world where the people who hate him, for the most part, the people who hate him aren't violent, you know, where I think the people who hated Obama were definitely violent. And I mean, there was also a lot more reasons for that. It wasn't just a political reason.
Right.
I mean, race played a big part. And I think it would play a big part with Hillary too. I mean, can you imagine if we had a female president right now? Are you nuts right now?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna let no female tell me what to do. You kidding me? My wife listens to me and so does Hillary. Like, oh my God, it would be a nightmare.
It'd be a nightmare. I mean, so Trump is a nightmare, but we should count our blessings wherever we can find him, in my opinion, on this one. Because you got all the wackos staying at home.
Just so I've made a couple, I've been pretty vocal on Facebook lately about my distaste for Trump and how much I hate him as a person. And people, you know, it's the same thing that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. You can't say that I hate Trump and let expect people to take it as that I hate Trump. If I say I hate Trump, then that means I hate Republicans, conservatives, Christians, everybody who likes Trump, everybody who's ever talked about Trump in a positive way. If I say I don't like Trump, I hate all of those things, which is not true. It's not true at all. But, and that's what, like, when I talk about how much I hate Trump, I hate Trump. Like, I've never liked Trump. Even when Trump was the host of a reality show, I didn't like him then. I didn't like the reality show. I didn't like him in Home Alone 2. I've never liked Trump. Like, he's never been somebody that I've enjoyed. It's like, who's that? Oh, freaking A. I can't remember.
He's like cilantro for most people, Dallas. It's like a chemical enzyme that makes you just not like him. You can't help it.
Laura Linney.
Yes.
I don't like Laura Linney. I don't like her as an actress. Every time I hear her talk, she comes off smug. I never want to see her in anything. Like, people were like, watch Ozark. We started watching Ozark. I didn't know she was the wife in Ozark. And it really makes me dislike Ozark. Like, I don't, just because I don't like Laura Linney and I'll be vocal about it, doesn't mean I don't like anything that she thinks or anything that, or anybody that likes her. It's just so silly. Trump is a person. He's not a party. He's a person. And as president, you're supposed to not even give a shit about your party, but people forgot all about that long ago. Oh,
goodness.
So anyway.
Goodness. All right. So since we're locked down, let's commit to doing another one of these, because I don't know what else you wanted to talk about, but I have the digital dollar on my list.
Yeah. That's a big thing, man.
I have toilet paper on my list.
Charmin. Big Charmin.
Yeah. So there's lots to talk about. Hopefully we'll get some feedback and people will listen, but.
Yeah. And if you listened and you got it this far, I appreciate it. And also remember, we're not taking it lightly. We're in our homes. We're all about making people feel better.
Yep. I'm wearing my mask. I'm doing all the things.
Yeah. I mean, I thank my lucky stars all the time that my mom isn't here for this. I can't even imagine the heartbreak it would be that we couldn't go see her and couldn't go visit. And we wouldn't. I mean, we wouldn't even risk it. You know what I mean? So it's like, this is a very serious thing for us.
The Lord works in mysterious ways, my friend.
That's for sure. All right. Well, listen, everything's fine. You know, you can follow us on Twitter, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I could use some more followers after this COVID.
Oh, I guess you could ask, follow Travis at Civart.
Yeah. My crazy half-coherent thoughts.
Travis backwards, Civart. And yeah, you can follow him and then block him. That seems to be something people like to do.
Yeah, it's a popular thing.
And then you can follow me if you want at Dallas_MC. And we'll see when we record again. Somebody to lean on, please.
need somebody to lean on.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother. I just might have a problem.